Let's go ahead and grab your Bibles and grab a seat. We're going to get right into this morning's lesson. All right. Stop loving on each other. Stop it. Grab a seat. You'd almost think that the church is a place where you come to be with people you like. Have you never been in a church before, family? Come on. Hey, I'm so glad to be home with you all. We were gone this past week with Lindsay's side of the family on a little vacation. And while it's always good to go away, we find that it's always good to come back home. And so it's good to see you this morning. We're in the sixth week of our seven-week series through this topic on the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God Himself. And the reason we've spent so much time looking at this particular topic, and the reason we're going to dig deep today into a very sometimes touchy piece of this conversation, is because we believe that this gift of God dwelling in you is the most profound and wonderful gift ever given. And what a travesty it would be to have a gift that we never use. In fact, I was thinking about it this week. How many of you, will you just raise your hands, how many of you have ever either given or received a gift card as a gift? Could I just see some hands if you've ever given or received a gift card? Okay, now listen, hold on a second, real quick here. Quick question, how many of you prefer to give gift cards or receive gift cards than something else? Can I see hands? All right, now look around here. I want you to notice the predominant gender of those who prefer to give gift cards versus something else. I'm a terrible gift giver. I admit it. I know it. I've got three options for you: Starbucks, iTunes, or Amazon. That's your choices. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's about all I got. But I was thinking about it. Gift cards are great because you are able to give people something that they can redeem at any time. And in many ways, there's a variety of ways to redeem it. But did you know that stores and businesses love it when you give gift cards to people? Here's why. Many of you never redeem your gift cards. It's free money for them. In fact, the gift card industry continues to grow, and I don't have the most recent numbers, but as of just a couple, 3 years ago, the average number of gifts given, gift cards given rather, was over about 14 billion, with a B, billion dollars of gift cards. But get this now. Over $1 billion worth of gift cards every year are never redeemed. How many of you have like the little sock drawer, that place that you put your cards, you're like, I'll use this later, and later never comes, and so you kind of go back, and there's still the, look, if you've got those, bring them to the church. We'll use that as your tithe. We'll take it, whatever. But here's the thing. I was thinking about the reality of the gift of the Holy Spirit, this great gift of God in us, living in us, with us, not just around us, but in us and through us, and how many times in my life I have longed for a greater sense and a greater reality of the presence of God, all the while holding His gift, but never redeeming it. And so today we're going to look at what it looks like to redeem the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at one particular part. We're going to look at spiritual gifts. And I know as soon as I say that, some of you are like, oh yeah, here we go, bring the fire. And others of you are going, oh no. We're going to start becoming Pentecostal. We're going to, you know, speak in tongues. Listen, church, we have already spoke in tongues this morning. Goyo was up here speaking in tongues. I mean, so we've already done it this morning. All right. But you don't need to worry. Instead, I just want us to kind of walk through this, because if it is true that God longs to give you good gifts, then we want to know what those good gifts look like. Amen? Okay, let me try that again. We want to know what those good gifts look like. Amen? All right. So grab your Bibles, turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be there, and Romans chapter 12 as well. I also want to encourage you to take your sermon notes out and fill them out as we go this morning. There's a lot of material we're going to try to cover, and you may want to refer back to it later this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at what he says beginning in verse 1. This is Paul the apostle. He says this, "Now, about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be, look at this word, ignorant. You know, there's some things in life that you can be ignorant about and it doesn't really matter. There are other things in life that it matters if you're ignorant. Let me give you an example. It does not necessarily matter if you're ignorant of the fact that you ought not wear dark clothes after a particular day of the year or whatever else. That's not a big deal. But men, is it a big deal if you know when your anniversary is? Yep. Being ignorant is a bad deal. Here's the point. Paul wants us to know that this is such a big deal. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts that God longs to give his children. And the curious thing is not only this. When we talk about spiritual gifts, there tend to be two radical extremes. There tends to be those on one end who are opposed to the gifts full sail. Completely against the gifts because it seems to be more emotional. And I love what Jose spoke about last week. He did such a good job talking about the best gift that God gives, which is love, that comes and we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. But there are those who are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. And then there are other people who almost idolize the gifts of the Spirit more than the giver of the Spirit. And I admit that even in a group this size, there may be some variety of thought when it comes to the spiritual gifts that God may or may not give us. But my hope is that although we may be all starting at different points this morning, that by the grace of God, we may end up in the same place. This past week, Lindsay's family and our family, we all went out to Branson, Missouri for a week vacation. I know what you're thinking. What a hip, cool place to go. Branson, Missouri, home of the oxygen tank wielding crowd. It was great. The cool thing is when you power walk, you can blitz by most people there. It's great, but no, we had a great week. We saw some shows. We went to Silver Dollar City, which is sort of like, Dolly Parton's, Dollywood's little sister theme park, and we just had a great time out there. But here's what's interesting. We all started in different parts of the country. We started in Nashville. Lindsay's brother and his wife started in Michigan. Lindsay's mom and dad in Indiana. Lindsay's sister and brother and their sister and husband, rather, they are in Arkansas. They came from Arkansas and went that direction. And so, we all started different places, but we went to the same point. And here's my hope, is that although we may start at different points this morning, that God would help sort of draw our hearts a little closer to the same point. And Paul wants us to begin by saying, hey, we don't have to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Being ignorant is not a virtue when it comes to knowing God. Rather, being courageous and listening and asking and learning, that's good because we want to know our good God, because any good gift he gives is a good gift. I know that's redundant, but I want you to get the point. So he goes on and says this in verse 4. Look at what he says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, notice this, works all of them in all men. This is so important. The gifts of the Spirit are not for a select few. It's not for the super Christians. In fact, this is real important to hear. The gifts of the Spirit do not indicate your spiritual maturity. Please hear me now. The fruit of the Spirit shows your spiritual maturity. The gifts of the Spirit do not show that you are mature in Christ. Rather, God gives his gifts to all people for specific purposes. And in fact, in verse 7, we're told this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God is giving his good gifts to each Christ follower. At the moment you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are given a gift, a spiritual gift. And so I just want to kind of walk through what some of these spiritual gifts are. What are the gifts of the Spirit? Because the reality is God gives us each different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. I was thinking about it. At Christmas growing up, my parents gave all four of us kids different gifts. My sister Megan, she's 2 years older than me, and then my sister Emily is 3 years younger, and then Mary is 4 years younger than her. And so our parents gave us gifts based on who we were. Because I'm a dude, I got dude kind of gifts. I didn't get my little sister's Polly Pockets. I didn't get a Trapper Keeper with the girly pictures on it. I had the boy gifts. And we had specific gifts. And no one said, oh man, because your dad, your mom gave you a different gift, you must not have the same parents. No one said, oh no, I think we need to have Dad do a paternity test on the Maury Povich show. Rather, we said we all have different gifts, but that doesn't show that we have different fathers. It shows that our Father knows us well. And He has given you gifts that work with the unique way that you were made from before time began. God designed you, and He figured out your personality and your attitude and all the things that would make you you. And so when the day came that you became a follower of Christ, when you were baptized, when you met the Lord, the Spirit came in, and then He says, okay, of all the gifts, this one's for you because it matches who you are. So I just want to walk through some of these gifts. We're going to begin actually in Romans 12 and then pop back over here to 1 Corinthians 12 to finish this up. We don't have time to really dig into these as well as I'd like, but we'll just kind of give the high points here. Starting in verse 5 of Romans chapter 12, notice this. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. We're not individual parts, we're one. And each member belongs to all the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Now I need to stop here for a moment. There is a false teaching that is very popular in our culture that says that you will have, if you are a true follower of God, you will receive certain spiritual gifts. You have to. And usually it is the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Well, if you're a real Christian, you'll speak in tongues. You need to understand that nowhere in the Scripture will you find that to be the case. There's nowhere that says that if you're a follower of God, you must have a particular gift. In fact, Scripture says the opposite. It says that every one of us receives different gifts based on how God has made us for the benefit of the body. And so He begins to give a list of the variety of gifts. Notice in verse 6, He gives the first one here. He says this, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. Now, if you want to write this down, I'll just put a bunch of blanks for you to fill this in. The top one is prophecy. And here's all that that means. Don't get freaked out by the word prophecy. Prophecy simply means that you receive words from God that you can then share with others that lead them back to God. Some of you have the spiritual gift of being able to communicate things to people at a moment when they need to hear it that draws them back to God. But here's the big challenge with this one. Do you notice he says, do it with a level of faith, with a level of help that you have been given. Here's why. It is a dangerous thing to confront people when they're doing the wrong things. Can I get an amen from anyone in here? How many of you just look forward to those wonderful moments of conflict with a friend or a family member who's off the rails? You're like, oh, I cannot wait for this moment. He says, no, I know it's going to be hard. So God is going to give you what you need to speak boldly, speak truth from God to a friend that will lead them back to faith. So the gift of prophecy, the second one he says here, verse 7, if it is serving, let him serve. Now here's what's interesting. Some of you hear that and you go, wait a minute, why is serving a spiritual gift? I'm just naturally a servant. Here's the reality. Serving is not just that you get up and serve. You have the spiritual gift of serving if, and I put this down in your notes, if you recognize needs before people tell you about those needs. Some of you have this gift. It's amazing to me. I will get phone calls from some of you in this church, and you know who you are. You'll call me up, and you'll say, hey, listen, I think we need to deal with this situation, or I think so-and-so in our body may be going through this. Can we find a way to help them? And you intuit through the Spirit of God needs in our body that no one else has yet to discern, but you see it before that person has even mentioned it. That is a spiritual gift from God. He goes on to say, if the gift that you have is teaching, let him teach. I don't have this in your notes, but because it sort of repeats itself later here, but teaching is simply the idea that you have an ability to communicate some sort of truth that in a way that people are able to learn it and apply it to their lives. He goes on, verse 8, if it's encouraging, let him encourage. Some of you are encouragers. And let me explain what encouragement means. It's not just that you say something nice to people, but rather encouragement is the, says specific words that build others up. You have a way of speaking a specific word that doesn't necessarily twist someone's life back to Christ, but rather you see when someone needs a particular word and you have a means and ability to see that and speak it in such a way. When I think of an encouraging person, I always think of Ann Lever. For my life, she was one of the big encouragers. She's now with the Lord, and I miss her phone calls, but she would call me up. She would write notes, and she would often write down things, encouragement, often at points when I was feeling very discouraged about those exact things. And many of you have that gift. That is the gift of encouragement. He goes on. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Did you know that giving is a spiritual gift? Some of you have been given the gift of God. You have the ability to make and give money away for the good of the kingdom of God. In fact, there are those in here, some of you, you are going to make money hand over fist, and here's why. God gives you this ability because he knows you will not let money become an idol. And he knows that you will use it to give it away, to give it away, to give it away, so that the kingdom of God is built up, so that things of God's kingdom can happen. That's a spiritual gift. He goes on. Next, he talks about leadership. He says this, if it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Leadership is simply leading people towards things that matter. If you turn around wherever you're going, if you turn around and people are following, chances are you have the gift of leadership. He then finishes with this. He says, if it is showing mercy, and that word could also be translated compassion. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And I know some of you are like, how is that a gift? How's being merciful? Here's what mercy is. Mercy is when you just have a heart that breaks for other people. You feel deeply what other people feel, and it's not that you then bring them down. I mean, good grief, how many of us know people who they'll cry over anything, but after you're with them, you feel worse than before you were with them? That ain't mercy, folks. But there are those of you who you break for other people, and you empathize, and you are able to just be there in those moments when people are desperately needing encouragement and help, and you come alongside them. Some of you have the gift of mercy and compassion. Here's how I know. I've received it from so many of you. Let's continue on here. Let's go over now. I want to take you back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to continue this list. By the way, if you want to put like a little break, a little line break in that list of gifts, you can kind of go back and look at where we got these from. The first few are from Romans and the second few are from 1 Corinthians. But notice in verse 8 of Romans 12, it says this. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. If you want to write this down, these two are wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is insight to the right course of action. And by the way, some of you have this gift of wisdom, and the way you might know this is if you are sort of like everybody's shrink. I mean, people, when they have issues, they come to you. They say, hey, what do you think I should do? How should I handle this? And it almost may be annoying to you because people always are coming to you, always talking about what's going on. And you may have the gift of wisdom because people recognize in you that you seem to almost always know the right course of action. Knowledge, go and put this one up. Knowledge is basically similar to teaching. It's that you easily understand biblical truths. I'm blown away when I get to sit at the feet of people like Philip Smith, who just get Scripture, and they see things that, man, I go, where do you see that? How do you get that? And he is able to unpack the truths of Scripture, and I would tell you, if you understand, if you easily understand the truths of Scripture, then the chances are you may have the gift of knowledge. He goes on, verse 9, he says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this is different from saving faith. There's two kinds of faith that we're talking about here. There's saving faith, which is where you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he died, that he lived, that he came back, that he is your God, your King, your ruler forever and ever. That's faith that all people can have. But there's a specific kind of spiritual gift of faith, and here's all that that means. Go ahead and put this up. It's simply an unshakable confidence in God. It's an unshakable confidence in God. Have you ever met someone who seems to have trust and confidence in God no matter what's going on around them? I think about my sister Megan, and she's one of those people. In fact, I talk to her about a lot of things I don't talk to anyone else about, because when I talk to her, if I'm worried or I'm not sure about things, she is one of those people who even in the most dire situation will say, you know what, I have no idea what God is going to do, but I believe God is working his glory through this situation. She has an unshakable confidence in God. And some of you, we need people who have this kind of faith, because there are days when some of us, when I just don't have it. And I need to come to you and I just need to say, what do we do? And you need to say, Diggs, I believe God is at work here. Even if we don't see, if we don't understand it, God is not done with us yet. Does our church need people of faith like that? And so this is a spiritual gift. Let's keep going here. He goes on. He says, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers. And then, again, he repeats prophecy from earlier. Let's just talk about healing and miracles for a moment here. A big question that always comes up. Let me just sort of describe these first. Go ahead and put these both up. Healing is simply God heals others, usually or primarily when you pray. And miracles might be described as God supernaturally acting in the natural world. Now, here's the question that always comes up. People say, now, does this still happen today? And of course, we all know the really, really bad examples of people who require money to do healings. And let me just be real clear, that is not of God. If you are charging people for a gift of God, something's wrong, church. But the question is still, do these gifts still exist today? Now, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Others in here may disagree, and that's okay, but let me just tell you what I think. I believe that every one of the gifts in the Bible are still available today. I found nothing in Scripture that say otherwise. Now, I don't think that they're available as frequently as they were in the first century. In fact, if you want to do a real fun history study, by the 3rd century AD, the Christians were already starting to notice that many of the gifts seemed to be less frequently given by God. And there's all sorts of theories as to why that may be. But here's my point. I still believe that all these gifts are still available. I have friends overseas right now who are in the mission field, who are seeing things happen, people being healed. I was talking to one friend not too long ago, and he said, Josh, there's this guy along the side of the road. He was blind, had been blind for years. He had huge cataracts, milky eyes. And a bunch of Christians from the church, they went, they laid hands on him, they prayed, and they could see the milky eyes go clear and he could see again. You say, so Josh, how do you describe that? How do you explain that? All I can tell you is that the power of God still works today in ways that are beyond my comfort zone. Anyone else? But God is at work even if I'm not comfortable with his working. You say, well, why do we not see more of it? I'm gonna lay something out there, maybe a little controversial. I'll let you think about it this week. But in Mark chapter 6, we get the story of Jesus going into his own hometown, and we're told that he cannot do very many miracles because the people there did not have faith. All he could do is heal some sick people. You say, Josh, is that really there? Yeah, go read it. It's in Mark chapter 6. Look at it this week. Now, am I saying that if you have just enough faith, anything can happen? Well, let me be very clear. The spiritual gifts are not like a spigot that you can turn on and off at your whim. See, this is one of the confusing parts that we get when it comes to these gifts. Like, well, if I've got the gift of teaching, shouldn't I at any moment be able to teach a brilliant lesson? Let me tell you, family. I try to teach just a couple times a week, and if I can make one brilliant lesson in my lifetime, I will be thrilled. It is not something we get to turn on or turn off. Let me give you another example, and go back and look at this week if you want to. Acts chapter 12. There are two apostles who are in prison, Peter and James. The church prays for both of them to be released. Peter's released. James is killed. Was it because the church just didn't have enough faith? Of course not. Understand that just because you have a particular spiritual gift does not mean that you are the one ultimately controlling how it works in your life. Does this make sense? Yes, no, yeah, okay. Let's keep going here. Next one, he says this. To another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing between spirits. This is a huge one. Here's the thing. Many people think that we are physical bodies with spirits, but if you read Scripture, what you find out is that we are actually spiritual beings with physical bodies. Our spirits are going to go on for eternity with the Lord or apart from the Lord. And the reality is when we recognize that we are spiritual beings with physical bodies, we recognize that there are some spiritual forces at work. There are angels. There are demons. It is very unpopular to talk about the spiritual world in the church today, but we need to believe and understand that right now there are heavenly forces fighting on God's side and against God. And we need some of you who have the gift of distinguishing between the spirit of this world, of what seems culturally okay and what is actually right. Distinguishing between spirits simply means to discern what is or is not from God. And we need people in the church, I think, more now than maybe any other time in America's history who are able to recognize what is from God and what is not from God. Can I get an amen? And so we need those of you. When your spidey sense goes off, how many of you know what spidey sense is? Anyone in here? Okay, when your spidey sense goes off, when you hear something, you need to tell us and say, I don't know that we need to go down this road. This doesn't seem to be right. Or I think this is what God is calling us to. We need your gift of discernment. He goes on, the gift of speaking in tongues as well as the gift of interpreting tongues. Now, this one is just a weird one, and I got to be honest, I've been at churches that someone says they're speaking in tongues, and I always just get that sort of weird feeling when I'm around it. But let me tell you something that I'm learning. My comfort level ought not be the measure of God's activity in the world. Because there are a lot of things that God does that I'm not comfortable with. Have you ever seen God do something that you weren't so comfortable with? And so, speaking in tongues, here's one of the things. And I would encourage you to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 this week. Paul talks about how he has the gift of speaking in tongues, but he says, hey, let's be real cautious about how we use this, that if someone's not there in the church to be able to interpret it, don't you dare get up and start talking, because here's the thing, go ahead and put this up. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual language between you and God. It is for your edification and your encouragement. And in fact, you almost get the sense that Paul almost is discouraging it from the public setting, or at least just saying, hey, let's be real careful because it's just weird, and if someone's not there to interpret, then what happens? And church people kind of feel awkward, and unchurched folk don't know what's going on. But Paul had the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues where he just had this language between he and God. Now, why are we talking about this? Paul tells us in the next few verses that God is at work in the body, and one of the ways he works is by giving us spiritual gifts. Notice in verse 7 and then verse 11, I want you to see this. He says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let me explain something. This is one of those few gifts that you're given for the benefit of other people. It's not like Christmas morning where you go downstairs and you open up that present or you get that toy or you get that great thing that's all for you that maybe you'll let the other people in the family play with, or maybe if you're really nice. No, no, no. This is the gift that God says, I'm giving this to you because I love everyone in your church. This is a gift for the body. I remember when I was 9 years old, my cousins and I wanted to build a tree house. And so we told our grandma, we told our family members, we said, we just want tools so we can build a treehouse. And I remember at Christmas when I was 9 years old, Christmas day, we open up the gifts that evening because we always get there at Christmas night. We open up the gifts and we start looking, and Matthew opens up and he gets like a saw and some nails. And my cousin David, he gets a hammer and a screwdriver. And I'm getting real excited. I open mine up and I get a tape measure. It was not Granny's favorite. And we all were like, wait, where's my saw? And where's my nails? And where's my screwdriver? And we're all talking about how, where's mine? And she said something I will never forget. She said, listen, we wanted to give you gifts that would require you to do this together. That's why not any one of us receives every gift of the Spirit. Because we need you, Joe David. Without you, well, okay, most of the time. We need Joe David. We need one another. And here's one of the challenges in the Christian life, and I think God does this on purpose, how easy it is for us who have been saved, after we've been saved for any length of time, to begin to look down on other people and to assume that we've got it all together. And so God says, no, I'm going to give you a gift, Randy. I'm going to give you a different one, Jesse. I'm going to give you one, Benton. I'm going to give you one, Wanda. And we're all going to work together. We're going to serve one another. We're going to do this for the glory of God and the good of the city. And we're going to bless one another because we, family, we need each other. And so when we begin to use our gifts, we begin to see it. In fact, here's something I'm noticing. Sometimes we look around and we say, well, I don't know what my gift is. I don't see my gift being used. I don't even know what it is. How do I figure out what my gift is? You want to know the number one way to figure out what your gift is? Get involved in a church and ask, how can I help? And God will begin to show you how he has gifted you to help. In fact, I just want to end with real practical three things. Write these down. We're going to call it a morning. You say, well, Josh, how do I discern beyond just how do I help? Well, real simply, three things. Number one, I'm going to invite you, starting this afternoon, sometime this week, do it sometime soon, read what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. I've given you all the references there in your notes. It's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. All four of them talk about spiritual gifts. And by the way, every one of those places give different lists. Why? Because God's spiritual gifts are immense. There are so many of them. But read those. And as you read, then do the second thing. Pray. Ask God, what do I have? What seems to be the gift that you have given to me? And then here I give you a third thing. This is a distant third, though. Ask people in this church, people who have wisdom, who are thoughtful, who know God well. Say, well, what do you see in me? Because sometimes we can see gifts in others easier than we can see in ourselves. But here's what I look forward to. I look forward to a day when this body at Antioch, where everyone who calls Jesus Lord can say, and let me tell you how he has gifted me for your good. What a day it will be when we say, I've got this gift, here's how I can help. Well, I've got this gift, here's how I can help. And every person says, I am a vital part of the body of Christ. I want to end with one question. Are you ready? Here's the question. Are you using your spiritual gift? Are you using it? And if you've got that blank stare and I don't know what mine is, go back to those three things we just said. But find out what your gift is, because a gift undiscovered and unused is useless. But a gift discovered and used is a blessing, not only to you, but to the kingdom of God itself. We haven't said much this morning about coming to know Christ, but I want to just say, if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you've not yet made that first step, today is a great day to give your life to him. It's a simple thing, but it's a radical thing. All you do, you simply confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You come, we will baptize you, you will be saved, washed, cleansed, life will start anew, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, his indwelling presence, and a gift suited for you, for the blessing of the church and the glory of God. If you have any other needs, we're about to go into a time of prayer, and this is a great time for you to be able to simply begin that process of saying, God, what is your gift for me to bless this church? This is a great day to ask him. Or maybe you just simply need prayers because of a situation you're facing. Here's the reality. Some of you are going to lose family members this year. We've already had it happen, haven't we? We need people in this church with the gift of mercy or compassion. Others of you in here, you're going to lose your jobs this year, and you're going to need help. We need people with the gift of giving in this church. There are others in here who you're going to hit a day, and it's going to be rock bottom, and you don't even have words to express why, and you're going to need someone with the gift of encouragement to speak truth into your life that God has not done. There are some of us in here that you're going to be close to giving up on faith itself, and you're going to need people in this church who have faith to say, God is not done. He is still on his throne. Your story is not over. And so this is a time where you can come and receive prayer and say, I want to be that kind of person for someone else. Or maybe you just need that from someone. But whatever your need is, whatever your praise, whatever your prayer, this is a great time to come and talk to the Father, the giver of good gifts, who longs to give you good gifts. So let's together stand as our shepherds come to receive you in prayer. Let's stand and sing and talk to our good giving God.
Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us. Lord, let your light, light of your face, shine on us. That we may have love. to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us, Lord. Let your grace, grace from your hand, fall on us, Lord. Let your grace, grace from your hand, fall on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your grace fall on us, O Lord. Let your love, love with no end, come over us, Lord. Let your love, love with no end, come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your love come over us. Let your grace fall on us. Let your light shine on us. Break my heart, dear Lord. Tear the barriers down. Show me in convicting tears the glory of your crown. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I beg thee, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My sin is great, but I can see the glory set for me. Show me, Father, where to start, and gently break my heart. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my
Our God listens when we pray, but I find it even more encouraging that he acts before we even ask. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now for those who have simply bowed their knee to Jesus, said, I can't do this, who have given themselves to Christ in baptism, life is new. And if that's not your story, it sure can be. Some of our elders are going to be up front. As soon as we finish here, they'd love to pray with you and talk to you about your next step in following Jesus.